Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts.
Every single day, reality calls, and the Biden administration just hangs up.
I don't care what corporate media outlets say. I don't care what Hollywood says. I don't care what big corporations say.
Mark Reardon.
Can you provide a definition for the word woman?
All I ask is that you're a woman.
Can I provide a definition?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I can't.
The Mark Reardon Show is on now.
Hey. She was sworn in today, by the way, KBJ.
Wow.
And Stephen Breyer made it official. This is pretty funny, by the way. I have to give credit. You know our buddy Lance Hillebrand.
Yes.
You know his brother Brad, right?
I do.
Radio legend that he is here. A lot of people don't know his name maybe anymore. They should, though. I remember Brad Hillebrand from the 80s. Maybe he doesn't want me saying this. He said it on Twitter, though. So I said this yesterday. This was a serious tweet, too, just because you think of everything that's happened since last week. We're still talking about Roe and abortion and sending women to other states for abortions. And we have the president on some of this today. So my question was, because we went through this whole thing. You know what nobody's talking about?
Hmm.
What about the leaker? I said, are we at the point where the SCOTUS leaker never gets identified and gets away with it? And Brad said he resigned yesterday. Stephen Breyer resigned.
Wow.
It was just kind of jokey, Joe. I don't know. Maybe he's right. Maybe he's right about that. So, Sue, last night, as you might remember, went to see The Fix at Del Mar Hall.
I love this.
I was a little double booked because I had agreed to go to a baseball game with some friends of mine who were coming in from Columbia, thinking that the Fix show, I do this all the time, by the way, I mess up the dates. I thought that the Fix show was on Tuesday, but then I managed to squeeze them both in. Went to the game for a little while, had a little dinner, watched a few innings, and then headed over to Del Mar Hall. But here's something that was interesting. And I think I told you this yesterday, that on the website, if you go there, it said doors at 6:30. And the show starts at 7:30, and I thought, well, there's no opener. Are they going to start, like, right at 7:30, or is it going to be 7:45 or 8? So I went with Chris Myhill, who used to work on the KMOX side.
We love Chris Myhill.
And he said, you know, they were going on at 7:45. So I was about 20 minutes late.
When you say going on at 7:45, you made that up in your head because it actually said 7:30. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Well, because you typically don't go on right at showtime, right? Some people do. But here's what was interesting. People who were there last night will remember this, and we were all a little confused. So I walk into Del Mar Hall. I love that venue so much, by the way.
It's
I love
great.
The pageant, but Del Mar Hall is great. So I had known that the show had started because Chris told me that, you know, they had done a couple of songs. I walk in, I'm getting my ticket, and I said to, like, the guy who's stamping my hand, I said, have they started yet? Because I was confused. There was no music going on at all. And at Del Mar Hall,
what time was it?
This was just a little after 8.
Okay.
So they started 7:45. I'm there about 8:05, 8:10. There's no music going on. So I walk in, I'm trying to find Myhill, and I see the band on stage. They look very confused, and at one point, Cy Kernan says, does anybody work in this place? Well, what had happened is, like, not one, but two people passed out right in front of the stage.
What?
And I don't know the whole story. I don't know what happened. All I know is the band just walked off. Like, as I'm walking into Del Mar Hall, Cy Kernan and The Fix are walking off the stage because it was weird for them to be up there doing anything while someone was, and I don't know, I mean, it didn't seem like it was a medical emergency, although I guess if you pass out, it would be.
Yeah,
I have no idea. But then I found Chris, and he was down closer to the stage, and then they moved these guys out. Somebody came through on a wheelchair, so I don't know if they you know, moved a wheelchair. I have no idea. It was just bizarre because not often you walk into a rock show and they stop, and right as you walk into the venue, the band walks out and say, okay, we're done. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. But they were really good, by the way. I have
to
say.
Wait a minute. What happened? So they wheeled the people off and then they came back to play
more? Well, the band
came
back. Yeah. As soon as the people were out, because it was right in front of the stage where it happened,
so
the band could see that something had happened. Oh, this was a great moment, too. I wish I had this on video. At one point, about midway through the show, Cy Kernan says something to somebody that's on the other side of where I was standing and says, I don't know how he started it. I don't know if he said, are you enjoying your conversation? And the person said, yes. He goes, well, nobody else is because they didn't pay, money to see you talk.
Wow.
And I thought that was great because this happened recently when I went and saw this band, The War on Drugs, at the Pageant. And I have a long history of kind of encountering people who are behind me and they won't shut up during a show. And there's plenty of room at these venues. If you wanted to talk at that concert, go back to the bar. That's
absolutely
what it's there. If you want to talk at the pageant, go to the back or go by the bar. That's fine. Nobody's going to give you grief for that. But if you're down in a bunch of people, especially during a song that might be a little bit slower, you can hear all the time. And there's times where you can just hear every word that people are saying. Right?
Yeah, that's
so he got a big cheer for that last night. All right, here we are off and running for a Thursday edition of this very radio program. We got a lot to go to here this afternoon. Kilmeade's coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. My friend Josh Hammer, who is the opinion editor for Newsweek and a great conservative, will talk about some of the Supreme Court cases. There was a big one today. Actually, two cases were released today. One, which blew up some of these EPA rulings on climate change, thank God. And the other one was a loss for conservatives. It dealt with the Remain in Mexico policy. But we'll get into some of that here as we move through the afternoon. Sue, we have the Price is Wrong, Mark, with George Gray, the announcer for the Price is Right. George was just over in Amsterdam, I think, with his wife. He's back here in St. Louis, and he's going to join us in the 4 o'clock hour. So that and a whole lot more. But let me start, of course, the story yesterday that broke while we were on the air, and I've been having a lot of fun with this just off the air, because it's a fun story, let's face it. When the story broke yesterday, what we knew is that, and he's going to join us in a few minutes here, St. Louis County Councilman Mark Carter released he had a statement that said that he had received an anonymous video a week ago yesterday of a male county employee in a sexual act with a woman in what appeared to be an office on the executive floor of the county building in downtown Clayton. So Harder, in his news release, didn't name the person, says that that person could be identified. Then lo and behold, the same day, the chief of staff for Sam Page, Cal Harris, he can go back to mixing music. Calvin Harris, can he? I couldn't resist that. He resigned at 1:45 yesterday, made no mention of an investigation, but cited the recent death of a close relative and upcoming family relocation. I think the family relocation is, I don't know if people know if he's married or you might have a
partner. We haven't heard yet.
Yeah, but he's going to have to move, because once this gets out there, I think, especially the video, I don't know that anyone's going to see the video. Here's what's interesting, though. So when the Post-Dispatch wrote this story, Sue, I was relatively careful yesterday, but dropping strong hints that those two stories were related when they first came out. In this particular situation for the Post-Dispatch, and keep in mind, and Councilman Harder is going to explain this here in a few minutes, he referred all this to the Highway Patrol because there might be a crime involved, along the lines of maybe fear porn or something like that. So the Post story says a source who had seen the video and retained possession of a copy told Jane Duker. I don't know that, sir, but it wouldn't
surprise me. You've got to quit doing that.
It wouldn't surprise me if it was her. Honestly, it wouldn't. Told a reporter Wednesday that the male in the video was Harris and that Harris's name on the ID badge could be made out in a screen capture from the video. The source shared the screen cap with the reporter. The image did not include any faces, but showed a clearly identifiable county government employee badge that included Calvin Harris's name and photo. So I suppose, in a lot of these cases, you might remember when things happened with Anthony Weiner or some of the other folks on Twitter, they claimed that their account was hacked, right? Mm-hmm. So I suppose he can claim, that's not me.
That's what I would say.
That is not me. Somebody stole my name badge and they were wearing it when they were getting oral sex in my office. I wish I could say some other words. I really do.
No.
The whole thing blows, though, for Sam Page, Sue. I'm just going to tell you right that. It is not a good thing for our St. Louis County executive. Somebody did say that. I think it was Myhill last night. Said, Jay needs to come up with signs. Sam Page blows. I think that would work. Let's go overseas to the president here this afternoon. He continues to blame. Who is he blaming for all this right now? Inflation, gas prices?
Russia, Russia, Russia.
I think he wanted to say
Marsha, Marsha, Marsha.
But here he is blaming Putin again.
I think there's a lot of things we can do and we will do. But the bottom line is, ultimately, the reason why gas prices are up is because of Russia. Russia, Russia, Russia. The reason why the food crisis exists is because of Russia. Russia not allowing grain to get out of Ukraine. And so that's the way in which I think we should move, and I think it would have a positive impact on the price at the pump as well.
So he's at a big advantage because most of the press corps, and I don't know if Ducey was along on this trip, if he got to ask a question. I did not hear that. But look, he's not going to get challenged on that at all. And there's nothing. Whenever Trump said anything, if he just breathed, they'd do a fact check at the Washington Post. He says things all the time.
That's so true.
That are, by the way, they're easily debunkable. And he doesn't get called on it. A little bit more on inflation here.
I can understand why the American people are frustrated because of inflation. But inflation is higher in almost every other country. Prices in the pump are higher in almost every other country. We're better positioned to deal with this than anyone, but we have a way to go.
Well, I don't think we're dealing with it very well at all. The only thing that we can do when we, you know, deal with it is thank God the Supreme Court came along and stopped this nonsense when it came to, you know, some of the EPA regulations about fossil fuels, because the EPA, as the court wrote this morning, overstepped its boundary. On the abortion situation, he says he's the guy to carry the message.
Yeah, I am. I'm the president of the United States of America. That makes me the best messenger. And I really think that it's a serious, serious problem that the court has thrust upon the United States, not just in terms of the right to choose, but in terms of the right to who you can marry, the right, a whole range of issues relating to privacy.
Yeah, well, they're going to dangle that out there as much as they possibly can because they want to scare people.
And I have written way back a number of law review articles about the Ninth Amendment and the 14th Amendment and why the privacy is considered as part of a constitutional guarantee.
All right, he's just rambling at this point, but he did lash out at the Supremes.
One thing that has been destabilizing is the outrageous behavior of the Supreme Court of the United States on overruling not only Roe v. Wade, but essentially challenging the right to privacy. We've been a leader in the world in terms of personal rights and privacy rights, and it is a mistake, in my view, for the Supreme Court to do what it did.
Well, catering to the base, of course, we'll cover a lot of that and a whole lot more here this afternoon. First and foremost, Councilman Mark Harder, who got that salacious tape or recording, if you will. Can't say videotape anymore, I suppose. He'll join us next, 97.1 FM Talk.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
People in politics, the press flackies, if you will, the people who are the chiefs of staff and all that, they have to craft responses when there's controversy and things like that. And this has to be one of the best ones, or really one of the worst, in all seriousness. There's an updated statement here from Doug Moore, who is the flacky for St. Louis County Executive Sam Page, because you had a video of his former chief of staff receiving oral sex in his office with his lanyard on. That's not the story, okay? The story is, according to Doug Moore, everyone is looking forward to the Missouri Highway Patrol finding out how Councilman Harder got the video and who he shared it with. No one in the county executive's office has spoken with the Highway Patrol, but we will certainly cooperate fully. This investigation is about you, Mark Harder. I don't know if you knew that. I'm going to make that very clear. That's what the Page administration thinks right now.
Well, Mark, crazy days.
How do you respond to that?
Yeah. Well, the spin meister is at it again.
Yeah.
I mean, if anybody should be brought up on charges, sometimes I wonder if Doug Moore ever thinks about that. This whole thing is just, it's hard to describe. That this is a pretty cut and dried case, in my opinion, but I'm not a lawyer. Somebody is going to get hurt here and has been hurt in this situation by this video. And I just saw a statement by the female that's in the video. She's hired a lawyer and he's made some comments, and he wants to prosecute this situation. So, you know, we got to let the process play out, and that's why when this video was given to me, which I wish it wasn't, but it was, and I quickly turned it around in less than 24 hours and gave it to the law enforcement community. So it's up to them. They had this over a week ago. They've been doing their investigations, and I'm sure there's probably still other investigations going on as well.
I want to back up on some of this just a little bit, but first on the Doug Moore statement, I had a longtime political reporter here in the state of Missouri send that to me and say this: not a word about what Sam's hire as chief of staff did on county property, much less condemn it as inappropriate. This might be one of the worst statements I've seen in Missouri politics, and that's someone who has covered Missouri politics for a long time. When someone sends you a video like this and then you refer it to the Highway Patrol, I'll ask a couple of obvious questions. Why not give it to St. Louis County Police?
Well, I took some advice on that and felt that the Highway Patrol was more neutral and would not have a dog in this race. And so I felt them to be and even the police give their own investigations over to them. It wasn't my decision. It was the Clayton police that I referred this to, and it was their decision to turn it over to the Highway Patrol.
And, you know, I think one of the questions, Mark, that's come up in the last 24 hours since this story broke is, and people might be a little confused, why is this potentially, I know the answer, this is rhetorical on my part, but why is this potentially a crime that was committed?
Well, if you remember with the Greitens situation, that's where the new law that they're calling the Greitens law came out of his situation. And it has consequences to it. It has fines. It has jail time if prosecution can prove that that this video was done without the consent of the people in it and that it was shared around as it was. So that's what the attorney for the female in this situation is saying, you know, that his client has been wronged in this case. So it'll be interesting to see how that all plays out here soon.
Cal Harris, the former chief of staff for Sam Page, was being paid $156,000 a year, and he does this on county property. And there's no mention of it from Sam Page. I mean, I'd take everything that happened in the last week out of it and focus on what warranted that particular salary for this guy. But now we have a sex scandal, and everyone likes a sex scandal. But beyond that, Mark, I mean, this is just a reckless pattern in this office overall. I mean, let's be honest. The county executive's office has kind of been a mess here for the time period that even goes before Sam Page. But it's one thing after another now, isn't it?
Well, it sure seems that way. We used to measure the scandals month to month in the Sanger administration. Now it seems week to week. So, yes, it's really strange and why the county executive, since he handpicked this person, and he's handpicked a number of other people like Mr. Weaver and Mark Tucker and other people like that, he's handpicked these friends and acquaintances for these different high-level jobs and paid them a lot of money, and they all seem to find the wrong side of the road eventually.
Anything that you're aware of from your fellow council members? I did speak with Chief Fitch yesterday, but on the other side, on the progressive side, have they said anything about this that you're aware of or expressed concerns?
Crickets.
Yeah.
Crickets.
All right. Well, listen.
Some are concerned, but, you know, in private, but none of them have made any public statements about that. I think they would rather this all blow away.
Yep. All right. Well, listen, keep us posted for sure. It's an interesting development, and we will stay tuned, as they say.
But Mark, can I say something?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, this is very sensitive nature of this whole thing, and we've got to give you know, the female in this situation some space. I've been getting calls in the last 24 hours. You know, who is it? Who is it hit? And I hope everybody has discretion, both in the media and otherwise, in other places. That you know, it'll eventually come out. They always do. But let's give these people some breaks and and try to remember that there's a victim in this situation.
I would hope that she's not identified. You know, she might have to be throughout the legal process, but I completely agree with you on that front. Now, that begs one more question, and I don't know that you know the answer to this, but I have to ask, how did the video, not who gave it to you, but do you have any idea how that video was shared in the first place?
No, I think there's a lot of other people that got this at some point in time. I was just towards the end of the chain, I guess. And that's not unusual from a standpoint of sharing, because we get letters and phone calls from people in and outside of county government, and I think all of us do as county council people, saying, you know, look into this, look into that, or this person's doing this, or this. And a lot of them are unfounded. But when this came through, it was pretty clear that this needs to be a looked at by police, and that's why I referred this to them.
St. Louis County Councilman Mark Carter, I appreciate it. Thank you, Mark, for the update.
Okay, talk to you later.
Yep, he referred to the updated story where that, you know, that quote comes from that I cited from Doug Moore with Sam Pages, and here's what the local paper is reporting right now. The woman seen in a sex video recorded by Cal Harris. See, now we're just basically saying it, right? It's not allegedly. We kind of know right now. The woman seen in the sex video recorded by Cal Harris, the former chief of staff to county executive Sam Page, said Thursday she did not know she had been recorded or that the recording had been shared. Okay? Boyd, her attorney, described the situation as horrific. The victim did not know it was being recorded and did not consent to the recording and did not consent to any dissemination of such recording. At this time, the victim requests privacy as she navigates this horrific situation. I agree with Mark Carter that this is someone that definitely deserves privacy, no matter what happened or the circumstances. You're not supposed to record someone without their consent, especially in a sexual act. And then you have to let's think through this just a little bit, because certainly that's something that Cal Harris did. Let's say you're someone who wants to do that, okay? And you record someone that you're involved with a sexual act. Do you send it to your friends? Is that what happened here? Maybe one of the right. Like, that's one of the more fascinating aspects of this story. Somebody got it that certainly was offended by it or thought this deserves more attention. So maybe it was sent it to a guy or a friend or someone like that, and then the girlfriend or the wife says, "Hey, this is outrageous. This is something that should be investigated," and they send it to her. I'm going to be very curious to see, you know, what happens. And then the law that we're talking about, you know, he did refer to it as the Greitens Law. It prohibits non-consensual dissemination of private sexual images. So that's why sometimes that's called revenge porn. I used that word last night, and my wife didn't realize what that was. She'd never heard it before. But essentially, you know, if you're involved in a relationship, if this may be a little different than revenge porn, because it just seems like it was out there. Ha ha, look at my video. I don't know. But if you're involved, let's say, in a relationship with someone, let's say Cal Harris was in a relationship with this woman and wanted to get even with her or something like that, to post those images on social media,
that's revenge.
Right, exactly. So that's where that comes from. But that is fascinating. The law that he is alleged to have violated or could have violated is punishable. It's a felony. It's punishable by $10,000 fine and 7 years in prison. So, look, we got Mr. Weaver. You know, Mark Carter mentioned some of these guys. Mark Tucker was the accountant that didn't know how to be an accountant because he wasn't an accountant. So he was the auditor. Jane used to call him the frauditor in chief. Mr. Weaver was the dude that just got indicted a couple of weeks ago in the kickback scandal. Now you have this guy. I mean, let's face it, city government's in no better shape with two members, including the president of the Board of Aldermen, set to go to federal prison. But you know what, Sue? It's a gift to talk show hosts, so I appreciate it. Thank you, Sam Page. Thank you, Cal Harris. Thank you very much. Oh, poor Sue is in panic mode. I have my iPad Pro in here, and she's got an older iPad, and everything is completely upside down, and when you close the apps, it still stays upside down, right?
Yes! It's not me. I've been trying everything.
Right, and then we can't figure out how to reboot it. I know how to reboot my iPad, but we can't figure out how to reboot yours, so she needs some. See, you're an Android person. This is what happens.
Yes, I'm very confused.
When you're an Android person. So we talked about this a couple of times this week with the hyperventilation on the part of the people on the left over the Dobbs case.
If you read Clarence Thomas' concurrence, he said, thank you, Clarence Thomas.
Oh, you, Clarence Thomas!
He thinks that we are going to stand idly by when they take our rights
Yeah, she's not concerned about the children who get murdered in her city on sometimes an hourly basis, but this has got her fired up for sure. Chris Bedford is with us, senior editor at The Federalist, wrote about, you know, the campaign by the left that got violent in the aftermath of the leak in particular. Chris Bedford, how are you? Welcome to 97.1 FM Talk in St. Louis.
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
One of the questions I asked yesterday on Twitter, you know, we've almost been a week out from this decision. Do you think that the leaker is ever going to be identified?
I don't see any. I mean, I would be happily surprised if the leaker was identified after this supposedly serious investigation that they're doing. But I've been in D.C. now for 18 years, and it's pretty rare that if you cross the right or cross these kind of norms for a left-wing objective, you ever get actually canceled, you ever get busted. I mean, if you say the wrong thing about James Comey, you might get a police raid at 6 a.m.
Right.
But you don't actually get held accountable for these sorts of things. And I'm curious, we have no idea right now if that was a clerk or if that was an actual Supreme Court justice who did that leak or if that was even potentially a clerk acting on behalf of a Supreme Court justice.
Yeah.
That's a mystery.
Well, when I tweeted that yesterday, I said, will the leaker ever be found? Somebody did tweet to me in response saying he resigned yesterday. Kind of a good line,
perfect.
Right? Look, the subtitle of your piece in The Federalist is, we had to fight hard to get Roe v. Wade overturned, and we can't forget the hell they put us through to stop it. The media is not going to report on a lot of these things that happened, the mainstream media, the legacy media, on what happened in the aftermath. I mean, you couldn't – I gave Dick Durbin some credit here, you know, across the river in Illinois. He did condone the protests at Supreme Court justices' homes, but the White House couldn't do it. Jen Psaki couldn't do it. Chuck Schumer was doing exactly the opposite, right?
Yeah, so we have seen so much abnormal things in this country over the past couple of years, so many breakdowns of norms, that it's become just kind of cliche. We don't even notice just how out of line and how insane the campaign against the Supreme Court was. And I'm not even talking about the crazy rape accusations that were launched against Kavanaugh, et cetera.
Right.
But before the decision came out, you saw Chuck Schumer, the majority leader of the U.S. Senate, threatening the justices, saying that they would prepare to reap the whirlwind if they possibly crossed Roe. Then you saw this decision come out, and almost immediately there were protests and violent threats outside of Supreme Court justices' houses. You had bug-eyed Senator Elizabeth Warren screaming outside about the consequences if they ever possibly did this. You had police not even enforcing the law in Northern Virginia to defend people's homes. You had an attempted assassination of Brett Kavanaugh. The whole time, the White House, previously, before the assassination attempt, was saying, well, we support protests, and it's all right to do that, even though these were illegal protests and illegal intimidation. After the morning after the assassination attempt on Brett Kavanaugh in his own home, you saw the Speaker of the House saying, well, they're not in any imminent danger, so I'm just going to keep on neglecting and holding up this law, which is passed unanimously by the U.S. Senate to further protect Supreme Court justices from violence. This was an intimidation campaign. And what Nancy Pelosi ought to have said was the truth, which is, well, I want to apply more pressure. I want to scare Brett Kavanaugh. I want to change this decision. And Supreme Court decisions have changed previously, even major ones, based on public pressure campaigns. So this was the idea. This was the idea that they were going to try and to intimidate, to even mortally frighten and threaten and change the decision of the U.S. Supreme Court.
The piece that you wrote, you said that the left has weaponized the word normal to the point of farce. Explain a little bit of what you mean there.
So with the word normal, they used, you saw bumper stickers just flying off, saying this was not normal, this is not normal, flying off the shelves during the Trump administration, where they would constantly describe what he was doing as, you know, not normal. And Joe Biden was called a return to normalcy.
Yes.
We just want to get back to our normal America. They acted like Donald Trump and everything he stood for was the cause of all the disruptions in America. And for some people, that might have seemed believable, because when Donald Trump was president, you saw fights with the NFL, fights with Major League Baseball, fights with corporations, fights over kids' gymnastics, children's bathrooms, fights over the transgender, fights with pop culture, fights all over. But I think we can expose this as the lie that it was, because now Donald Trump hasn't been president for 2 years, and ESPN and Major League Baseball and the NFL are still hyper-political. These battles are still going on viciously in our schools. The transgender stuff is being pushed. The cultural stuff is being pushed. All these things that are very far from normal. And they've degraded the word so much with their complete and total misuse of it, simply to describe, you know, a president, for example, that tried to renegotiate trade or tried to enforce our borders, or who said no when people tried to push him around. That seems fairly normal to me, but instead they called it abnormal to a point that the words lost its meaning. And because of that, when they've changed words and they've made it so the truth is more difficult to categorize, sometimes it's easy to miss just how insane things like this intimidation campaign against the Supreme Court actually are.
You would think, and I think you know this, Chris, if you just follow the mainstream coverage of the decision last week and in the aftermath, you'd think there were not half the people, millions of people in this country who were pro-life and didn't have problems with abortion overall. You just think that the whole country, outside of maybe a handful of rednecks here in the flyover states, think that this is, you know, a good decision. They're completely out of touch. I mean, what about the amount of, isn't Joe Biden Catholic? There's nothing that is ever said about that. It's just that people of faith are denigrated by most of the coverage. For the most part, that's what I've seen.
Oh, yeah, you're only allowed to use your faith to justify why you're pro-abortion. Like, you see Nancy Pelosi, with the help of the Vatican the other day, pushing that line, and you see Joe Biden pushing that line all the time and the media doing that. And no one wants to talk about how the fact that the Catechism of the Catholic Church says you absolutely cannot do this or assist in it or support it because it's a grave sin. They put out these polls, like you're to at your point. The Democrats have put out these polls to try and suggest that the majority of the country is behind them. The vast majority of the country is against late-term abortion. A majority of the country is for first trimester abortion, but I do think that that's because there hasn't been enough explaining done about the realities of what this kind of what this procedure is, what it actually means. It's not simply about choice; it's about life. And I think they're going to find out in these next couple months that their giant fight over abortion here, and to defend abortion rights, as they call them, isn't actually going to be very convincing to the American people. And the polls they've used to justify their increasingly radical positions aren't going to be borne out. But there are huge fights coming. I mean, Roe v. Wade and Casey v. Planned Parenthood have been finally and mercifully struck down. But that doesn't mean that there are not fights, even in the red states. I mean, I was looking at Texas, map of Texas. You see Dallas, Corpus Christi, San Antonio, Houston, Austin. All of those are cities in Texas that have said that the district attorneys have said we're not going to enforce anti-abortion laws. In Georgia, you have Atlanta, Savannah, Augusta, Athens, Macon County. In Virginia, where I live, you have Arlington, Fairfax, Falls Church, Norfolk, Loudoun County, Richmond, Portsmouth. And it's also places like Birmingham, Alabama, Jackson, Mississippi, Nashville, Tennessee, Columbus and Cleveland, Ohio, Indianapolis, St. Louis, Asheville and Durham in North Carolina, Lawrence, Kansas, Tampa, Florida. There's a left-wing rebellion against the
citizens around them. Oh, yeah. It's happening here for sure. Right. Yeah, they're setting up. They're trying to use some of the CARES Act money to send women to Illinois to get abortions.
And the federal government right now. Yeah, and the federal government's trying to ship abortion pills to women in states that are outlawing it. Senator Warren and Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez have suggested setting up abortion clinics in national parks, which is absurd and super gruesome.
Oh, I missed that one. That's classic.
Isn't that wild? Yeah, go to Yellowstone, get an abortion, see a grizzly bear.
I want to stop you there just because I've said this many times before, and I hope this kind of resonates. I think you'll understand it. Look, I get that this is a tough issue. I was someone at the age of 49 who found out that I was having another baby. So, you know, these things have come home in different ways to me, even over the years. But the callous nature of saying things like that, or we're going to pay you money to come and get in the board to celebrate this, just seems so weird and inappropriate to me, and I think to a lot of people in this country.
Well, yeah, at 49, the congratulations.
She's seven now, by the way.
That's amazing. It is a difficult issue. And the problem here that we've had with this is Republicans, especially in the national level, not so much in the state level, because it's a difficult issue, they don't like to talk about it. They don't like to be educated on what it means. They don't like to confront these things. So I remember the Nevada debate in 2016 between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, where she tried to pull the classic thing, if this is the most difficult decision a woman will ever make, this is this. And he just turned to her and said, she's talking about late-term abortion here. She's talking about killing children in 9 months.
That was a great moment, right?
It was a great moment. And there's no doubt in my mind that I can't possibly believe that Donald Trump, in most of his years of existence, had thought deeply about what abortion actually is. But here he was on the stage talking about it. And the reason he was talking about it so clearly, so much more clearly than politicians on the national stage ever talk about this issue, is because someone, some good pro-life activist, had reached him and had told him the reality and pulled away the words we use to disguise what it is, whether it's fetus or procedure, and said, this is what's happening. And it had reached him. So we need to be able to arm politicians with those language. Because like you said, this is a matter of life and death that affects women, men, and the baby, of course, involved. It's never a victimless procedure. It's always something that has real-world consequences and lifelong consequences. So it isn't easy as talking about it, just like it's taxation or regulatory policy. But it's life, and it's essential, and we need to embolden our politicians with the words that they need to defend it, because the legislatures are coming for us.
By the way, I just so you know, Chris, I prefer the term birthing persons on this show. I just have to correct you there. Uncomfortably. Chris Bedford, great piece. I appreciate coming on here this afternoon. Thank you. Have a great week.
Thank you.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.